This is Focus, our morning talk program. My name's David Inge. Glad to have you with us. Harriet Williamson is the producer for the show. Kyle Mabry is at the controls. Just a moment here, we'll be talking with Rich Warren about consumer electronics. He's been with us many times over the years, and maybe people are thinking of bringing some new piece of electronic equipment into their home or in their market for something new, and you're kind of confused about all the choices, what to think about. Rich can help you out and give you some advice. We'll be doing that in just a moment. First, though, what we want to do is remind you that people like you who are listening to us right now provide more than 40% of the money that it takes to operate this station. That is what makes this show and everything we do here possible. Right now, we're taking some time to ask people to support the station, and the goal is really very simple. That is to sustain the programs and the service that you enjoy and that you value. Right now, if you're not a supporter of the station, you can change that by giving us a call, 217-244-9455, or you can go online, willpledge.org. Either way, this would be a great time to do it. Here in the studio with me is Kimberly Cronick, and she's here to help make the pitch. So take it away.
Oh, right. I love to. Here I am. Take it away. Really, basically, David, what David said is true. You know, and you're part of the conversation. This is a two-way program where you're going to get to call in and ask Rich your questions. Earlier, we talked with Susan Kundrat. You had questions about nutrition and the holidays. You know, this is a service that you depend on. You like the fact that it's two-way, the fact that it's credible, the fact that it focuses everything from international issues down to local practical advice that you can get with people from people in the community. We provide you with that connection. And again, whether it's NPR News or our local regional news, it's all stuff that you tell us that you really appreciate. We want to keep doing it, but we can only keep doing it with your contribution right now. 217-244-9455, or you can go online with your credit card, willpledge.org. It's really easy to do, but we really do need to hear from you now. 217-244-9455.
All right. Well, we'll get underway here with Rich. People here in Champaign-Urbana will know him for the column that he writes on a regular basis for the News Gazette. He's also written for many other specialty kind of publications that deal with audio and video. And every once in a while, we ask him to be here on the program to answer questions. So if you want to talk to Rich, you can do that. You'll come here right to the show. No one will ask you for a contribution. That would be swell, but it's not required. 333-9455 and toll free 800-222-9455. Thank you very much.
You know, I envy Scott Spies because he comes on every month and things don't change that much in home construction and how to make your house better and safer. So basically, the information he gives in April is still pretty accurate in October. I come on four times a year, maybe twice a year, and actually, if I was on every week, everything I'd say the previous week would be obsolete and out of date, because the industry moves so quickly that it's always running in place, try to keep up with all the changes. And I become something of a curmudgeon about the electronics industry because I was its greatest cheerleader for 25, 30 years of going to the Consumer Electronics Show and seeing all the newest and latest and best and, you know, all the companies wining and dining me. And then I woke up one morning about 3 or 4 years ago and realized they don't need to really make all these changes every 3 months now. You know, the cycle used to be a year. Hmm. And now it's down to 3 months, you know. So if Apple comes out with a new product in October, then everybody else comes out with competing products in November. So Apple has to come out with something in March to make the one that came out in October obsolete. So everybody has to follow them. And it reminds me of, you know, the ship where everybody stampedes to one side and it starts tipping, and they stampede to the other side, or maybe like the stock market. And it's very frustrating to keep up with consumer electronics these days, because the emails I get because of my column in the Gazette, everybody is confused. Even people who are fairly smart about electronics. Well, Samsung came out with this TV this week, but is that better than my LG that I bought a month ago? Or should I get a Sony at a premium price? Is it worth the extra $25? Or there's a price at the big box store, and I can't find that model anywhere else. And they say they'll match prices, but I can't find the similar, because basically the big box store had that model custom made for them. So, of course, you can't find a price match, and that's how they can advertise. We'll match anybody's prices, but that model doesn't exist over at Sears, for example. So it's a fascinating world of consumer electronics. And I love coming on this program to try to help people get a little bit less confused about how they're spending their money. You know, sort of like I was listening to Susan Kundrat, and she was talking about sodium. And when I fly, I feel virtuous because I order tomato juice. Well, last time I looked at the can of tomato juice, it had 1,000 milligrams of sodium. I would have been better off having diet soda pop than 1,000 milligrams of sodium in something that was supposedly healthy. You know? Mm-hmm. So consumer electronics is a little bit like that. You just until you open the box sometimes, you don't know what you've got inside of it. So I'm willing. I've also been branching out into e-book readers and all these other things. And, boy, they work hard to keep you as confused as possible. I finally bought an e-book reader. I bought a Nook. And I was reading in all the reviews how it's, you know, it's black ink on white page kind of thing. And I looked at it, no, it's black ink on a gray page. It's not white like a book. And I'm still feeling if they can't really duplicate a book, then maybe it's not as great as it's cracked up to be. That's my attitude toward it. And the other thing is, for example, I subscribe to Business Week. Well, you can get a free app where if you pay for the paper publication, you can read it on your iPad. Yeah. But you can't do that on your Nook, even though you can subscribe to Business Week on your Nook and pay extra.
Okay.
So these are all the gotchas in the world, and I'm happy to answer any questions. I should tell people that it's going to be in my column a week from now, but Channel 17 pulled a fast one on everybody in Champaign-Urbana. They moved their digital antenna up to the top of their tower where their analog antenna used to be, which will give everybody better reception. Great. But they made a slight change in the digital bitstream that identifies them as Channel 17. So anybody who doesn't watch via cable or satellite, anybody who uses an antenna to pick up Channel 17, suddenly didn't even have Channel 17. My neighbor called me in panic. Channel 17 disappeared. What did I do wrong? And I went on, and sure enough, my TVs didn't have Channel 17. And finally, I figured out problem was, and my neighbor actually called them and said, what are you doing? I mean, where are you? I said, oh, well, you just have to rescan all your channels to get Channel 17. So everybody who's missing Channel 17 on an antenna TV set, simply tell the TV to rescan the channels and Channel 17 will return. I mean, these are the kind of things, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago in the analog era, you didn't even think about, but they're all, you know, difficult things now. So,
well, folks have questions. Now's the opportunity. Give us a call, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. I do have a question here. It came in on email, and it concerns two very popular Apple products, and I don't know how much time we want to spend with this. It's interesting, though, there would have been a day when this kind of question, we never would have. People were asking still about turntables and cartridges when we started out. But this person would like to know what's the difference between an iPod Touch and an iPad. And I think actually the answer is one you can put in your shirt pocket and the other you can't.
Thank you, David. I can leave now. That's about a good answer.
That's about it, isn't it?
It has very similar processing power, except one has a large screen and is good for reading magazines and stuff like that where you want a big screen. And the other one is a much more portable. It depends what your purpose is of the device. And it's a screen that costs the money. The real estate is what costs money when you get into, like, the next iPad will have supposedly a better screen. And that's what you're really paying for because the processing power and what it does are pretty similar. I mean, you can use the same apps you use for your iPhone on the iPod Touch, and it gets you confusing, your iPad, iPod, and all the I's. I sometimes forget, I said babbling because of the Apple nomenclature. Mm. But that's, that's basically it.
They're very similar devices except for the size. And so, yeah, as you said, I think depending on what you want to do with it, maybe you want to have a bigger screen. You actually could watch a movie on your iPod Touch, but you might not want to look at something that small. Also, you can actually read a book on your Touch, but it's a pretty small screen. So I guess the thing to think about is what do you want to do with it? How are you going to use it? Do you want something that will go in your pocket, or is it okay with you if it's something a little bit bigger? And the pads, I mean, it's a fabulous device, but it is, I think, surprisingly heavy for its size. So if you're going to be carrying it around with you, you might want to think about that.
Well, the other issue is they sort of leapfrog each other. So the new iPad comes out with a faster processor, leaving the iPod Touch a generation behind, and then 6 months later, Apple revises the iPod Touch to have the same processor, but then a new iPad comes out, and so it goes. It becomes a little confusing because they're not always identical, and I'm waiting for the iPad 3 before I take the plunge. My partner has the iPad 2, and she's inseparable with it. I mean, it's become a part of her body. It's a terrific device. It may be heavy for its size. The next one's supposed to be a little bit slimmer because they have better glass, but it is an amazing device. And when you think that has more processing power than what sent our astronauts to the moon or anything else we did in the 1960s, it's mind-boggling to think that you can carry this little piece of plastic around with you, and it has the processing power of an IBM 360, basically. Yeah. You know, so it is an amazing device, and people forget that it is a computer. It just has an operating system and a user interface that's totally different from what we have thought of as a computer in the past. It's become, thanks to Steve Jobs and his people, somewhat more user-friendly, but also somewhat more confined. You can't really use it for certain purposes, like a computer you could actually program. You can't program that. You can only download apps. Whereas if you have a real computer, even an iMac, you can actually get into the nitty-gritty of it to a certain extent.
Sure.
So there's a difference, but I guess we have a phone call.
I'm sure if you go where they sell these devices that the folks there would be very happy to demonstrate them and answer whatever questions you would have. We do have somebody here in Chicago. Let's go right there, line number 4. Hello?
Good morning, gentlemen. Mm-hmm. It's been a while, Rich. I'm glad to see you back on the air. Listen, I was wondering, now on Black Friday, they were showing people loading televisions up before to a car or whatever it is because they were selling the digital HD so cheap. One, I was wondering, how big does the TV have to be before you can order that up? Because you're talking to someone who remembers Milton Berle and I Love Lucy and the little screen in the box and that kind of thing. Now it seems like everyone has one. And should you wait for the what do they call 3D, or should you just go ahead and buy a digital HD TV?
Well, 3D TV is something of a failure. They were hoping to sell a lot more of them than they did. I think it's a gimmick. It's unnecessary. For the amount of programming available in 3D, which is very insignificant at this point, and the fact that it's still you have to wear glasses, which use batteries, which are cumbersome, which are expensive. That most of the sets come with one or two sets of glasses, but if you have a family of four, then you have to buy more glasses for $100. And personally, I think it's a scam. I don't see the purpose. Now, several companies say next year or the year after they're going to have a 3D TV where you don't need glasses, but there will be other compromises. You'll have to still have to sit in a certain place. You'll have to forego certain amounts of compatibility with other things. It gets very complicated. So I wouldn't worry about 3D. For example, if you buy a Blu-ray player that's 3D equipped, you're not paying for that because the circuitry to enable 3D in a Blu-ray player costs them about $5. It adds cost to the TV set, and it's truly unnecessary, although they're trying to force it down your throat. I would figure about 30 or 40% of the TVs on the market are currently 3D because they're just trying to force you to buy one if you want a premium TV set. But don't fall for it. You can get a much better bargain without 3D.
Okay, now my second question. How big does the TV have to be before you put on HD?
Well, even a 20-inch TV, you can appreciate HD. Let me tell you, when I watch Washington Week every week on Channel 12, and it was one of the last of the PBS programs to switch to HD, and the difference was remarkable. From going from analog to HD on a 20-inch TV, which we use in the kitchen while we're having dinner and watching Washington Week, the quality difference, even on a small screen at 720p, which is the lower HD resolution, was dramatic. And
so even if you have a little bitty one like mine, you can still get HD.
Well, if you buy an HD set, yeah. I mean, you don't have to buy a huge screen to enjoy the benefits. Now, I do recommend to people that the prime area for HD is in the 40 to 56-inch screen range because then you really get the glory of HD. Some of those programs on TV, especially when you watch a Blu-ray disc or you're using an antenna and picking it up off the air, are just phenomenal. And I sit there, and sometimes I just watch Channel 12 because I'm just so, you know, Marshall McLuhan was right. The medium is the message. I look at the picture.
What would a 40-inch sell for these days?
You can get a 40-inch TV now on sale for $300.
Oh, wow. Like I said.
It's not the best in the world, but it works. You know?
Like I said, I go back to the days around 50 or 51 when everyone wanted one. You know, matter of fact, the first show I ever watched was on Thanksgiving morning. Well, I didn't watch it because, you know, you recognize my voice. You realize that I'm visually impaired. But the first show I ever watched or saw or heard was a man and a woman on WGN up here in Chicago trying to give recipes on how to cook the turkey on Thanksgiving Day. That was what they were showing.
See, I'm not an expert on when it comes to vision, but I would assume that somebody who had a visual impairment would actually benefit from HD TV because the picture is that much clearer so that you would still see a better picture than you would with analog, which was inherently fuzzy. So,
okay. Listen, I know you're in a hurry. I just wanted one more thing. What do you think of this Dragon speech recognition software for computers? Should I buy that or leave it alone?
I am not an expert on that, but I have read quite a few reviews of it, and they've all been extremely favorable. Apparently, they've reached the point now where it's better than 99% accurate, which is a major goal, and it's so inexpensive that it probably wouldn't hurt to try it. I think you can get it now for like $99 for the basic program.
$99,
yeah.
You know.
And at that price, and they finally have made the, you know, 5 years ago it was like at 97%, but it seems like they've really made a lot of important strides, and
it'll help people like me run the computer a lot better.
Yeah, that's what I would assume. So again, I have not used it personally, but I would give it a try.
When are we going to see a DVD recorder, or are we going to see one?
Well, there are plenty of DVD recorders out there.
There are?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well. Okay, thank you, gentlemen. Thank you for taking your time.
Thank you. Rich Moore is our guest this morning. He writes about consumer electronics, mostly audio and video, but in recent years have been branching out into all kinds of things because there is really no choice. He has a regular column in the Champaign-Urbana News Gazette, has written for other publications as well. He's here occasionally on this program to talk about what's new. We also have this show called, let me see, what's the name of that show? Ah, yes.
Oh, the Midnight the Special. Midnight and I've got to tell you something. Since we're talking about fundraising,
yes,
this Saturday I have two very special premiums. I have collected, we get a lot of duplicates at the Midnight Special, really good albums like Ry Cooder and the Chieftains and April Virch, who's this fabulous fiddler. And I've put together two stacks of 10 of these. And anybody calling during the Midnight Special on Saturday and pledging at the dollar a day level will get a stack of 10 really great CDs as a gift from me.
Cool. All right. Nice. So that's Saturday.
Well, we have two stacks.
WILL AM, 2 o'clock.
Yep.
Saturday afternoon.
Folk music and farce, show tunes and satire, madness and escape. And this will be our humorous Christmas show as well. So.
Oh, yeah. All right. Very good. Well, we have a caller here in Urbana. We'll talk some more with Rich in just a moment. We'll take this call. We also want to encourage people to be supporters of the station, to be active partners in this whole business of public broadcasting. For me, having done this a long time, one of the great things about this program is there are no commercials. We don't have to take a break, and whether it's Rich, whether it's somebody who's written a book, whether we're talking about some policy issue, we really get the chance to have a long, in-depth conversation. And the people who've been guests on the show say they sort of shake their head in amazement and said, that's incredible. You mean we're really going to be able to talk? I said, yeah, we really are. The reason that's possible is that financial support comes from listeners. And every once in a while, we come right here and we sit in front of the microphone and we say, now is the time. Mm-hmm. And now is the time. So if you're a supporter of the station, thank you. We couldn't do it without you. And if for whatever reason you're not, here's the time. You can even get a tax deduction as we're coming through the end of the year.
That's right, David. But you got to call in, please, 217-244-9455. You know, Rich is here taking your computer questions, your questions about televisions. As he mentioned, he's got a special program also on WIL every Saturday at 2. And, you know, how many of you are going to be able to get to consumer electronics shows and, you know, look at all this stuff, you know, read about it and say, here's the good stuff, here's the, you know, not so good stuff. I mean, Rich does that for you. And then we put him on the air and we help you make these decisions and we give you a chance to call in and ask him questions. We know you appreciate that service. We just heard from a caller in Chicago who had at least two questions answered. It's valuable information. Please call now and say you want to support this service and help it continue. 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org. And, you know, David, we have these nice travel mugs. A lot of people listen.
Oh, yeah, they're really beautiful.
They listen in their car. That's for a thank you. We'll give you that gift as a thank you for a $60 pledge. It comes in orange. It comes in blue. It's sleekly designed. I've dropped it, David, and my beverage has not leaked and it hasn't cracked. So it's also quality, just like this program. This
and it won't open by accident either.
That's right.
Rich is trying to get it.
And unlike the consumer electronics we're talking about in a week, it will not be obsolete. It will still be good. It will still work. So now, what are we asking for?
We are asking for a $60 pledge, and we'll say thank you with one of those travel mugs. You also get the member card. Remember, it saves you money. You go out and eat across the region, 2 for $1. Also theater and other shows. So we give you a lot, not just with our regular programming, but in this time when we ask you to call in and give, we have some special thank yous. 217-244-9455 or go online and the gifts are there, willpledge.org. But we need you to call in now.
Okay. Hey, thanks very much. We have some callers to get with. Our number here, if you're going to call in on the program, 333-9455. Toll free, 800-222-9455. Email is also possible. If you'd like to send an email, you can do that as well. That's will-talk@illinois.edu. And you can talk with our guest, Rich Warren. We have a couple of people here ready to go. And first in line is someone in Urbana. on line one. Hello.
Yes, I'm interested in wireless headphones because I'm going to be moving into an apartment of two rooms, and I like to listen to classical music at a fairly high volume, and I don't want to disturb people living above and on either side. So I thought maybe I would use a wireless headphone. And I'm wondering, this building that I'm going to be in is Wi-Fi equipped? I presume that's for everybody. All of the apartments will have Wi-Fi capability. Does that conflict with wireless transmission to, say, a headphone?
It shouldn't. They may possibly use the same frequency band, but they should be on separate parts of that band, so they should work okay. It depends also how far you want to roam. If you're just in the same room, you can use an infrared wireless headphone. If you want to use the headphones anywhere in your apartment or home, then you need what's called radio frequency or RF, which is the same kind of thing as Wi-Fi. But they shouldn't conflict, and Wi-Fi has the ability, is locked usually, if it's provided centrally to a residence, to one group of Wi-Fi frequencies, so the headphones could be somewhere else in that band and function just fine.
Okay. My instrument that has the music is Blu-ray equipped. Is Blu-ray?
Bluetooth.
Blue something or other.
Yeah, Bluetooth.
Okay. Is that different from the frequency that you were talking about earlier?
Yes, Bluetooth operates on a different frequency, and it also is a much more limited range. Now, theoretically, Bluetooth shouldn't work over 30 feet away from the source, but several companies have managed to get it to work much further from the source. Bose has some products where you can use it anywhere in the house, and 150 feet, for example, but they don't guarantee that. That just happens to be they managed to trick it to do that, but it's not part of the promise. So that's a whole separate thing. There are Bluetooth headphones. I'm not sure which one to recommend to you. I'm not familiar with those. I do know that when it comes to RF wireless headphones, radio frequency wireless headphones, that Sennheiser probably is the best in the market. They make a terrific headphone, and they make a terrific wireless. They're one of the first that really knows what they're doing with that category. So when my mother needed headphones because she turned the TV up so loud that the neighbor started pounding on her ceiling, or her floor, rather, that I gave her the headphones, and she was happy ever after with those. So,
yeah, I think someone said that Clear Technology, K-L-E-E-R, is the state-of-the-art in wireless headphones. I don't know what that means, but anyway, you've been very helpful. Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. You're welcome.
Good. Very good. Well, we'll go on to another caller. This is someone in Champaign, and on line number two.
Good morning. Mm-hmm. I'm proud to be a contributing friend of WILL, and I heartily encourage all listeners to pitch in right away if they haven't already. But to the point of our discussion, I'd like to raise a few questions about radio and television for the blind. And let me stipulate from the outset that television and video recording are primary media of our culture, and that as such, blind people do have a real and legitimate interest in each. Then, as regards to radio, strangely, there is almost nothing being marketed for the blind, or at least that certainly was the case a couple of years ago as I was really delving into the subject. And I found at that time that those few websites that actually did pitch their products as being for the blind were uniformly, imaginatively deceptive about that point. By contrast, they were serving up the same fare with the same impossibly indistinct knobs as everyone else on the market. And then I suppose a few words should be said about the radio reader service. Well, I thought that was a great idea and actually picked one up for my mother. But Mom found that it really did not suit her needs, primarily because it constrained her to an unwieldy schedule. Also, that came up at about the same time as the News Gazette became a morning paper, meaning you would have to wait 7 or 8 hours right when the residents of the Windsor of Savoy were heading down to dinner to get their favorite fare. Anyway, I've set a broad table for you, and I'd be happy to hear what you can say about any of these. But in particular, we're looking into television issues right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, this is not an area that I cover, so I'm afraid I really can't comment on it because, as the listener points out, it is ignored by the general public, as many people with disabilities are ignored by the general public. So it's really hard to comment. All I know is that digital broadcasting does, with its many sub-channels, have the ability to have a separate channel, separate from the radio reader channel, for people with impairments, visual impairments, who would need a narration or other special programming. And it's up to local station to implement that, but I think WIL is using two of its subcarriers. One, the AM is now on the FM on one subcarrier, and I'm not sure what you're broadcasting on the other channels, but there are multiple channels. And that's up to the local station, and there's no real electronics industry or national policy on that. So I'm afraid that I'm not the right person to comment on it.
Yeah, I don't know, but I've been suspicious that there are gatekeeper issues. I mean, that someone is so intent on keeping us from cheating the system that it's gotten to be really not very useful.
I'm not sure that is the entire issue. It's expensive to do, and also the people who license digital radio, every time you use an additional channel, they charge you extra to do that as part of the royalty scheme that they've set up. I've learned that as well. So there's a matter of expense involved, and I think that if enough people requested the service, a station like WILL might be able to, especially, you know, since it is a listener-funded station, may be able to help with that. But I can't really comment on the technical side because there are a lot of ins and outs of that that I just don't cover.
What would be the expenses of podcasting? Because I think that would solve a lot of the issues right there.
I honestly don't know what the expenses and what... See, you can't podcast musical programming because...
Well, no, I mean, if you've got someone reading the News Gazette, could you have a podcast of that particular thing? And apparently that's going on, but it doesn't come up at times that are remotely convenient.
With the approval of the News Gazette, that should be absolutely no problem and actually no expense because the space on the server itself is free. And if somebody's already reading the content into a recorder, then podcasting it doesn't have any extra expense. So that would be between you and the News Gazette more than anything else because you could request that they make that available as a podcast, and I don't see why they couldn't do that.
Well, I'm not sure that they are the ones who do the reading. I think that's done through WILL.
Well, perhaps, except that the content is owned by the News Gazette.
Yeah.
So they would have to say, yeah, it's okay to do this because they're very, very careful, even for their regular readers, of what they make available online. It's a matter of copyright and the way they have their financial structure, and I can't speak for them, but... So there's all these intricacies that really can drive you crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, worthy causes sometimes get lost in the dust because there's so much paperwork to get it done.
Listen, I want to thank you for letting me kick this around with you. It's a great program, and I always enjoy hearing you both.
All right. Well, thanks for the call. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. If you'd like to call and talk with Rich Warren, he writes a regular column on consumer electronics for the Champaign-Urbana News Gazette. I do have an email question here for you. Let's do this. It's about antennas. Someone writes that they live in rural Ogden. There are some decent large trees around the house in various spots, but not blocked from any general direction in a solid line. We have a little flat Turk antenna inside the house and get several channels, but can't get NBC. What sort of antenna can we get to pull in NBC and some of the other channels a bit stronger? A person writes, I'd considered buying an antenna in the attic, trying an antenna in the attic, but I get different opinions with everybody they ask. Is there a store in Champaign-Urbana you might recommend going to that has knowledgeable staff and good selection of antennas? We need it for one or two televisions, so I need an amplifier for the signal. Or does the cable run make a big difference as to the number of TVs the antenna will be trying to power?
Good question. And yes, Ogden would be a problem with Channel 17 because it's about as far to the edge of 17's coverage area, which goes just about to the fringe of Danville. I thought they had a repeater in Danville, but I could be wrong. That might reach Ogden. The attic antenna is a very good thing to try first. It certainly will be better than your little flat Turk antenna, and is a very good chance that an omnidirectional or multidirectional attic antenna would solve your problem. Obviously, you're virtually next door to channel 15, which is ABC, because that's amphibian, and you could just about see the tower from where you live. And channel 3 is over in Bonneville in the same sort of general direction as channel 17, which is in Decatur. So you're probably set over there, and you have choice of different towers for Fox. They have two different channels, so one or the other you're going to get. I deal with a fellow that I recommend in my column. He's so good with this. It's not the thing he likes to do most, but he's very good at it. His name is Jesse Swinderman, S-W-I-N-D-E-R-M-A-N, and he's available Just go to Jesse, J-E-S-S-E, at swinderman.com, and he can give you advice. If you just want to do it yourself, you can go to Radio Shack. Radio Shack is the place to buy an antenna. They have about 10 different antennas that they keep in the back room in stock for various purposes. And yes, if you're going to supply two televisions, unless you have a really long cable run, you can probably get by with just a splitter, but you can also get a very low gain amplifier to supply two televisions. First, try it with just a splitter. You might save yourself $25 that way. And if that doesn't work, then you can try the amplifier. But that's the first step before you have to go to an outside antenna, which gets more expensive and more issues involved with that. So the attic antenna is the first step. And as I said, if you contact Jesse Swinderman, he probably can give you good advice. Come out. His rates are really reasonable. And you could still buy the antenna. He doesn't care about if he makes a profit selling the antenna. He just will charge you for his labor.
Okay, very good. Well, let's talk with somebody here on cell phone in Urbana, line one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
I have two questions.
Okay.
First question regards a digital recorder for a television like TiVo. Do you know if there's a subscription for TiVo that you purchase after you purchase the unit?
Yes, TiVo doesn't work without a subscription, and it's a very expensive subscription. I think if you pay for a year in advance, you can get it for $100 a year. Otherwise, it's something like $13 or $14 a month, which is very expensive for a program guide, but it doesn't work without it.
Okay. And are there other DVR recorders that you can purchase other than TiVo?
Not really. You can buy, for example, a DVD recorder that I think they still make one or two that have timers on them, like a VCR. I'm not sure if they're still available. The other thing to do is to get a basic PC or one of those little Mac, tiny little Mac boxes, and install the proper software. The PC comes with the software. It's a Microsoft Media Center. And you can program it. It has a beautiful program guide, and you can program it just like a TiVo. The only problem is TiVo updates its program listings minute by minute. So let's say you want to watch 60 Minutes on CBS on Sunday night at 6. But as many of you know, the football game is always making 60 Minutes start late. Well, TiVo always knows this and will wait to the end of the football game, send out a signal to start the recorder going so you get 60 Minutes no matter when it starts. If you're using Microsoft Media Center, it's only updated once a day. So it's going to start recording at 6 o'clock whether the football game is over or not. So that's the big difference between TiVo and other recorders, is that for your $100 or more a year, TiVo will make sure you get exactly the program you want to record no matter when it starts. It also gives you the option if you want to watch every Clark Gable movie that's available on cable or satellite. It sorts them out, knows where they are, and records all of them for you if that's what you set it up to do, whereas a normal recorder won't do that. So the best you can do with Microsoft Media Center is tell it you want to watch Mystery every Thursday night at 9 or 8 WILL, and it'll set up every Thursday, it'll record that slot. But that's about as sophisticated as it gets.
Does that get at your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
All right,
the other question was regarding, I recently purchased a Windows 7 desktop for work, and before that, we had several Macintosh computers that were laptops, and we had good Wi-Fi connections. But periodically now, since we have the Windows 7, we'll lose connectivity, and we'll have to unplug the router and replug it back in. Is that a router problem, or is that a computer problem?
It sounds like a configuration problem. There's nothing inherent in Windows 7 that should be causing the problem. I'm not sure, perhaps, that Windows is talking to your router properly. It may be a problem with neither. It just may be somebody needs to set it up properly so they talk to each other. And this is one of those areas that I hate to get into because it's outside of my particular expertise, but also because I've been through it and I've spent many hours. I spent a lot of hours. I build computers from scratch. It's one of my hobbies. But getting parts of computer systems to talk to each other, configurations, software matching, etc., can be an arduous job. I recently bought a new router. And suddenly, it took me 2 minutes to log on to my email after I booted up, and I was very frustrated. And I had also bought a new router at the same time, and I emailed the router company. They were so helpful trying to give me workarounds, and then I emailed the antivirus company saying, well, maybe it's your because you upgraded your program that week, maybe, and they tried to give me workarounds. Finally, I found out that the router company provides a little applet that's supposed to let you adjust your router from your desktop in Windows 7, which I installed. Well, it holds up all traffic for 2 minutes till it talks to the router and has a nice conversation. Hi, I'm Windows 7. I'm on Rich's computer. Here are the settings. Let's talk about this. And when it's finally decided that it's happy with everything, then it opens up the internet, opens up the network.
Right.
And I uninstalled it, and everything worked just fine. And I can still set up the router from their own internet connection. So it's, you know, it's one of these things. If I give you advice over the air, it's like Dr. Swearingen trying to diagnose a patient's illness. You can't really be sure without a thorough exam. So that's all I can tell you.
I think probably, well, thank you for the call. The caller also might try to tune in for the January Computers Show. That's also something we do every month on the program. Celeste Quinn is the host, and that's really all about answering computer questions. So if they can't figure it out in the meantime, they might also try to call in on that.
And I get a kick because even those people who do it for a living and everything, inevitably one or two callers stump them because there's always some configuration issue. And one of them's an expert on Macs, one of them's an expert on PCs, and the two don't meet in the middle. And it's unlike the old days. You know, when I first started doing this show with you, well, you had a receiver, you had speakers, you had a CD player. It was pretty simple. What's the best CD player? Well, okay, this one is a really good CD player. Now, CDs, what are those? And so, you know, times have changed.
Well, I have an email here we'll get. We welcome other callers, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Here's another, just to confuse you, here's another number I want you to think about, and that is 244-9455.
And why should we think about that number, David?
You should think about that because that is the number to call to make a financial contribution to this, your public radio station. And Kimberly Cronick, why is it important that people do that?
Because we rely on you, the listener, for more than 40% of the money we need to keep the station going in programs like Focus, like Afternoon Magazine, Regional News, NPR. All the information that you really, really, really come to us and appreciate and count on. The number to call, 217-244-9455. You know, David, during the month of December, we have a goal of $500,000 in membership support. That may sound like a lot, and we just have a four-day drive to raise that money. But we know we can do it because our listeners make up so much of what we need. And you have said to us over and over again how much you appreciate the service. So we're really here now to say just take a moment out and call in right now, 217-244-9455, or go to willpledge.org and make a contribution. And, David, you know, so we can do it with a sustainer. People can do a little bit at a month, month after month. And it adds up to a lot, and it's another great way to support us. And it's real convenient for you to make a pledge that way.
And maybe some people would say, well, you know, talk about $120 as a pledge. And some people would say, well, that's kind of a lot of money. Well, you could do that $10 a month. And I think a lot of people would say, well, yeah, I think I could see doing $10 a month. Or maybe people could do $20 a month. Or, you know, they can decide that, whatever works with their budget. The important thing is that people really say, well, yeah, I understand how important my contributions are, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to step up, and I'm going to make the move from listener to contributor.
Right. And where else can you call in every day, 5 days a week, and ask questions directly of folks who have answers or can point you to answers? Real important that you call and support that service. 217-244-9455. Thanks.
This is Focus, our morning talk program. We'll have more after a short break.
Support comes from Meyer Drapery Services. Specializing in custom draperies since 1972, Meyer Drapery offers more than 1 million linear yards of drapery material in their two local wholesale warehouses and retail outlet at 330 North Neal in downtown Champaign. Installation and design services are also available.
This is Focus, our morning talk show. I'm David Inge. Glad to have you with us. We're here weekday mornings from 10 until noon, 10 different topics every week. I just do want to mention that tomorrow morning, yet another consumer electronics-related show, but a different sort of item. We'll be talking about cameras and photography, and Brian Johnson will be here. He teaches photojournalism at the U of I, and again, which we've been talking about how things have changed over time. We've been doing this. Well, he and I have been talking about photography for a long time, and when we started out, we were talking about film. Well, now the world has just really gone digital, and you know, maybe there's some different things to think about. So tomorrow, Brian will be here in 10 o'clock hour, and if people have questions about cameras or dealing with photographs and doing digital things with them. That's what we'll do tomorrow. Here this morning, Rich Warren is our guest. He writes about consumer electronics, generally audio and video, for the News Gazette. He's written for many other specialty publications. And every once in a while, he's here, and we talk about what's new and talking about things like television, how to record programs to watch them later, how to listen to music, any and all of that. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455.
I want to tune in tomorrow and ask Brian to discuss that new camera that's coming out that records photographs as raw. Well, there's always a format called raw data. That's been around for a while.
Yeah.
But it doesn't actually record a picture. It records just the data of a picture, and you focus it and change the depth of field on your PC or your Mac rather than having it done by the camera.
Now, is that the same as working in RAW mode?
No, no. The RAW mode is the way of, they don't use compression. They just store all the data on the memory card. But
okay.
This is actually taking a picture and not actually thinking of it as a picture, just collecting all the light and all the image and then letting the computer create the depth of field, everything that is involved with making a photograph out of it.
Okay, too much for me.
Yeah, it boggles my mind. I just, it's just...
Absolutely. Well, anyway, that's tomorrow.
Yeah, it's tomorrow.
Now, if you want to talk about TVs, CDs...
I'm scaring Kimberly
DVDs,
out of the room.
Yeah,
see
Kimberly's
that?
Was too much for her, too. Okay. We have a caller. Let's talk with them. Line one, Urbana, right here. Hello.
Hello. I have a real challenge for a piece of consumer electronics. As our population ages, and in fact, I'm thinking of my mother, who is in her 90s, really, nowadays, the only thing that she can handle is a product line whose title would be Only On and Off. So I'd love to figure out how to get her to play music in her nursing home, which is far away, but there's absolutely no way she could handle just about anything I found in stores, online. I've even gone to the PACE people that deal with low vision, and I'm throwing this at... Mr. Warren, and asking him, is there any place I can look?
You know, now this is one of Rich's big gripes, actually, I think probably for a long time, has been user friendliness in design of the kind of stuff
that
we're talking
about. Well, it's a certain kind of user, and there's going to be more of them.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Well, does she want to play CDs or just listen to the radio or what?
CDs would be very good. You know, if I had, you know, my druthers, I'd love to buy something that I could load up a whole bunch of music. And in some kind of shuffle mode, because frankly, with a little bit of dementia, she doesn't remember one day to the next. And there's this button that this says on. There could be a volume control too. So, you know, if I was very adept at putting together parts, that's what I'd have. You know, some storage device, some speakers, and a button on and off.
Well, I can't give you that, but there are a couple of products out there that Tivoli Radio is very simple to operate, from designed by Henry Close.
Okay, Tivoli Radio, Henry Close. I know the name.
I don't know if they make a combo radio CD player. That you'd have to check on. I know the radio. It's a very good unit. The other thing is the Bose Wave music system. Now, I have to clarify that Bose underwrites my radio show, so there's some connection between me and Bose in the distance, although my radio station in Chicago handles that, and I'm not directly involved. But the Bose Wave radio does make a special remote for people who are visually impaired or have trouble with remote controls. It's this jumbo remote control.
Really?
And it basically what you could do is just take some vinyl tape and cover up all the extra buttons that she's not supposed to use.
For sure.
And just leave the on, off, and volume visible, and the AM, FM choice button, and the CD button. And then all she has to do is push one of those buttons, and they're big. I mean, they're not these little tiny buttons. They make this much larger. You can request it from them. It's a nominal extra cost. And it operates the whole thing. And using the Wave radio, it's a slot loader, so you don't even have to lift the lid. You just shove the CD in, and you push the eject on the remote control, and it comes out. If she can remember that much, she'll be okay. But I feel for you.
Suggestions.
I feel for you on that. I find it incredibly frustrating that rather than making things simpler, even Apple, which tries to make things simpler, I mean, like the remote control for Apple TV has three buttons, but then you realize that those three buttons have a multitude of uses, and you have to remember pushing them one way, pushing them the other way, watching, you know, it isn't as simple as it looks.
Yeah, and, well, if you have friends in the electronic industry, tell them that music is something that stays with people, even with dementia. And this is a product line that I think somebody could actually capitalize on.
Well, you know, they make special cell phones now for people who have issues with using a cell phone. They make a new computer, a couple of new computers that are out that are touchscreen and easy to operate for people who are not familiar with computers. Why they can't do this with a very simple music system?
It's a touchscreen computer.
Yeah.
In principle, I could just put everything on the computer hard drive.
You could, but unfortunately, I think that the touch screen may even be a little bit too sophisticated for your mother because there's so many options on it.
Mm.
You can go, there are ads for it everywhere. I forget the company that's marketing it, but if you look in the AARP magazine, which I am now eligible to receive, and some of the other publications aimed at older people, you'll see full-page ads for this computer, and it's been reviewed in some of the computer press and say it's not a bad computer, actually. And the touchscreen is a beautiful simplicity of being able to get email and music and things, you know, that are, but again, it's still a lot of choices. Excellent. But it is easy to read.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate, you know, the suggestions, and thanks very much.
All right, thank you. We are getting some other callers in here. We're getting really short on time. We'll try to do
talk fast.
We'll try to do one more caller here at Lee Champagne, line two. Hello.
Oh, hey there.
Yes.
I actually had to pull over and find a payphone to call you because I forgot to bring my cell phone with me. And it's really hard to find a payphone anymore. But I am calling about a DVD recorder.
Yes.
I don't want to pay a monthly subscription fee for a DVR or TiVo, so we picked up a DVD recorder. And the problem we're having is the cable box that we have from Comcast blocks the recording of some digital signals. So I don't know if you're familiar with this or if there's an easy way around it. We try to record an ordinary TV program, and a little box pops up saying, error, this is not allowed to be recorded.
Yeah, and there's no easy or legal way around it. There are, if you were a computer hacker, there are ways around it. But it's not easy, and it's not entirely legal, and that's the problem today is the content providers don't want you to recording their stuff, so everything is done through an HDMI cable, and HDMI cable exists not just to make things simpler for people since it combines audio and video in a single cable, but it enables copy protection.
Yeah, and we're not even using HDMI cable.
And that's why you can't do this, you see, because the machine's not talking to your cable box saying, I'm okay. It's saying, I'm recording illegally, basically, because the cable box isn't seeing something on the other end saying it's okay. And if you had their recorder, the cable company's recorder, then it would say, okay, I'll record this, but he can't copy it. Whereas, you know, where if you're putting on DVD, you could actually make copies of it and give it to a friend. Oh, my gosh, the content provider would be, you know, just dying. The millions of illegal things coming out of China, but if you want to make a copy for your kids, forget about it.
So you're saying if we use an HDMI cable, it would work?
Well, it might work.
Okay.
It's really tricky. You know, if you're using a computer, for example, and the video card has HDMI, it might work, but you might also have to pay to use it.
Yeah, we're not even hooked up to a computer. It just goes straight from the cable box to the DVD recorder, through a tuner, and then to the TV.
And this is the nightmare, right? So sorry that I can't give you an easy answer, but it's not unusual that you're facing what you're facing.
Right. It just seems silly that then you can't use the DVD recorder if the cable boxes won't let you do it.
Yes, you can thank the content providers and their paranoia about being ripped off.
All right. Well, I kind of expected that answer, but I thought I'd check with you just in case.
All right. Well, thanks for the call.
All right. Well, thanks.
Well, I'm sorry to say, we're going to have to stop right there.
Oh, I can go to 1 o'clock. We can print the BBC.
Yeah,
we don't need the BBC.
We could. I'm sure we could, but we can't. In the meantime, I'm sure that maybe early next year we can get Rich to come back. People also can write in to the newspaper with questions if they would like.
Yeah, hi-fi guy at mchsi.com. So hifiguy at mchsi.com. And I try to answer either by email or I'll put it in a future column in the News Gazette, which is on Thursdays in E3.
All right. And then there's this radio show. What do they call that show again?
The Midnight Special on AM 580 at 2 o'clock Saturday. And this week we'll have special pledge premiums of a stack of 10 CDs that I've selected for people who want to be Dollar a Day members.
All right. It's a great show. If you have not heard it, you want to tune in. And also our thanks to Rich Warren very much for being
My
here.
Pleasure.
We appreciate it.